Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into an Aquis listed company, AdSure Services. We're going to be exploring the business model and we're going to be looking at the core operations of the company. It has the accolade of being one of the only Aquis companies to pay a dividend. We're going to be looking at the recurring revenues that support that dividend and what that looks like going forward. And to do this, we're very kindly joined by Kevin Lim, who is the CEO of AdSure Services. Kevin, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan. Looking forward to our conversation.
Indeed, indeed. This is a podcast I've been looking forward to ever since we had it booked in. So we're going to take a top down approach to this podcast. We're going to be looking at AdSure Services. We're going to be looking at the operations, and then we're going to be going in to the dividend and what supports that a little bit later on in the podcast, as well as looking at some of the biggest growth opportunities. But to start with, Kevin, please would you be able to give us first of all an introduction to AdSure Services as well as yourself, please?
Absolutely. So AdSure Services is a holding company listed in October 2023. It's the holding company of its main trading subsidiary, which is TIA Limited. And TIA Limited is a specialist provider of business assurance services. TIA Limited has been trading for in excess of 25 years successfully. And AdSure provides the vehicle to support its future growth. So my name is Kevin Lim. As you say, I'm the chief executive of AdSure and also the executive chair of TIA Limited. I've worked in the business now for approaching 15 years. I'm an accountant by profession, but specializing in as an internal auditor during my working life, and have had the pleasure of leading TIA and AdSure more recently for the past 18 months.
Thank you very much. So TIA and of course AdSure, specialist in business assurance, and that's something I just want to focus on now, if we may, Kevin, and you know, get some more details from yourself in terms of, you know, the operations. I understand there's four core divisions within TIA. So it'd be good if we could go into those, you know, what they're doing, who they're working with, as well as the significance. I think investors listening to this will be interested to hear, you know, how the business is spread across the four core divisions that you have, please.
TIA trades principally with organisations that take their funding directly or indirectly from the government purse. Public sector is probably the easiest way of forming that, but some of our clients like to consider themselves as being in the third sectors or around the edges of that environment. Yeah, TIA is now set up to work with a market focus. So it has four core portfolios. Those portfolios are healthcare, social housing, local government and emergency services, and education. Education making up all parts of the education sphere within the UK, so higher institutions, further education, and multi-academy trusts. Each of those portfolios has coverage across the United Kingdom to different degrees, working with all different aspects of public bodies that make up, whether it be the healthcare environment, the social housing environment, local government, etc. If we were to look at the scale of each of those portfolios within the total makeup of TIA Limited turnover, the healthcare portfolio makes up around 40% of the company's turnover, with each of the other three portfolios being of an equal size of around 20%. The organization's principal service in the makeup of business assurance services is the provision of internal audit. Internal audit is mandated in almost all of the sectors within which we operate. So there is a requirement for some form of service. And in most cases, that is an outsourced provision to an organization such as TIA. We have a range of additional, more specialist products that we provide across the different client bases in different mixes dependent on the sector. So those include a full range of anti-crime services, so fraud prevention and investigation, security management and prevention of security incidents, health and safety compliance, a full range of digital services, including ICT audit, cyber consultancy, and broader aspects of ICT and information governance project management, and then a number of other more specialist products dependent on the markets that we operate within.
Fantastic. Thank you. So I just want to drill down, if we may, Kevin, a little bit further into the types of organizations that, you're working with. There's a really good overview that you provided in terms of the portfolio groups there. But I think for context, for people listening to this, it would be good if we could go in, if you're able to name possibly some of the customers that you work with, or types of organizations that you're working with, and what are each of these individual organizations using TIA for, and what are the services that they're operating with TIA at the moment?
So the types of organizations we're working with are, you know, local government bodies, across the UK, so organisations that are responsible either at county, district or borough level for managing the provision of public services. We have organisations across the country, somewhere where we have significant presence. For example, as we work with a number of the borough and district councils across Norfolk. In the healthcare market, we work with hospital trusts, mental health providers, community service providers. We work with commissioning bodies and healthcare systems. And we also do some work in the private sector. If you look at social housing, that can be arm's length government provision through local government entities, specialist social housing providers, or those in the third sector providing some degree of care support or rehabilitation services that includes some degree of housing provision as well. And in education, we work with a full scale of different universities across the United Kingdom. We work with colleges across the United Kingdom as well, and more recently have moved into the sphere of working with multi-academy trust groups. In most cases, the primary entry point for TIA into the market of working with any of those organizations is the provision of internal audit services. Internal audit services are there to support an organization in providing assurance over the effectiveness of its mitigation strategies and control frameworks to prevent its strategic risks from derailing an organization's achievement. Therefore, in TIA, fundamentally, we like to think that the mission, if you will, the value of the organization is there to help and ensure that every pound spent on public services within the United Kingdom, we can help support the maximizing of the value that's attracted to that investment. And this is, I think, an important social value element within the very mission of TIA as a trading organization. And I'm pleased to say that very recently, this was agreed upon by an organization called B Labs, which was fundamental to TIA gaining certification as a B corporation, inherently enshrining that social value within that business model.
Fantastic. Thank you. So I did mention at the beginning of the podcast, Kevin, that Adshaw Services is one of very few, I can probably count them on one hand, acquis companies paying a dividend at the moment. And that is supported by the next point that I have here that I'd like to go a little bit more detail into. And that is the nature of the contracts that you have with your clients. So looking at the organisations that you're working with, what's the typical structure that you have with your clients in terms of the contracts, in terms of the time scale? And I understand that they're recurring revenues provided to Adshaw from these contracts. So I think for investors listening to this, it'd be really good if you could provide a little bit more detail on those, please, Kevin.
Internal audit is the entry point, as I said, in answer to an earlier question, to almost all of the markets that we work in. The public sector as a whole tends to procure internal audit services through public procurement frameworks TIER is registered on in excess of 8 or 9 UK-wide public sector frameworks and a number of smaller, more niche frameworks for certain geographies or certain markets. Typically, when we're awarded or successfully awarded a contract through a competitive market testing exercise for the provision of internal audit services, that will run for a period of 2 to 3 years, with most usually an extension period of 1 or 2 years off the back of that contract. So we do have a large degree of certainty in terms of recurring revenues within the portfolio. There is a requirement, obviously, through market testing to competitively tender to retain those contracts at a point in the future, and also to secure new business opportunities, which is something that the company has successfully done throughout its period of operation. Those recurring revenues then provide an opportunity for us to look at how else we may be able to add value to our customer base through the provision of more specialist niche business assurance services. And those then are areas where we can seek to get one-off engagements, additional work within our customer base to supplement those core contracts. If you were to step back and again on a assessing turnover as a scale of percentage, you would expect at this moment in time to see 85% of that as recurring revenue, with that residual 15% being allocated to one-off engagements of a more specialist nature.
Thank you. So that's really fascinating, actually, Kevin. 85% of your revenues are recurring. And I just want to pick up on some of the points that you made there, you know, talking about potentially offering new services to existing customers and really look at the growth story now, if we may, Kevin, in terms of, you know, your plans. I understand you've put together a 5-year corporate plan for the company. I think that was done as part of the IPO. But going forward, in terms of your growth strategy, what do you see as the biggest growth opportunities? Is it existing customers and looking at new services? Are there new markets? What does this look like?
So it's very much twofold, Jonathan. So firstly, if you were to step back and compare each of the four market portfolios we have within TIER, geographically, there is a difference in presence in different parts of the country and in different parts of the UK within different markets. And that reflects the growth and how different customers have come into the organization and different groups of staff have come into the organization over its period of trading. So initially, there's a significant opportunity to level up presence in different markets across different geographies. So there we're talking about successfully bidding for and winning new term contracts by raising the business's profile within different geographic regions. It has the subject matter expertise. It just needs to promote that in a different region to level up that portfolio. Secondly, there's a significant opportunity for us to raise our profile in some of the capabilities we have at providing some of the more specialist business assurance services within our portfolio. It's not uncommon historically for us to see some of our customers not entirely be aware that we have some of those capabilities. And so we're quite actively looking at how we can raise the profile of some of the other work we do to existing customers to increase some of those one-off additional opportunities to add value.
It sounds like you're very much in the growth phase, but I now want to move on to the dividend, because I think that's particularly interesting given the growth case that you've outlined there in terms of potential opportunities in the future. You are paying a dividend at this point in time. So two questions on the dividends. Although you're in the growth phase, a growth phase at the moment, why do you feel that it's important to pay a dividend? And what is the plan for the dividend going forward?
So TIER has a strong history as a limited company in its own right before the IPO of paying a dividend. We have a small number of shareholders that have supported the company's growth up to the stage of IPO. And we believe it's important that we recognize their commitment to the company's growth. But also, I think it's important to note that TIER has been a profitable trading company over that period of time. And that continues post the IPO. So we were keen to continue with the policy that we'd had in place historically. And so that's why we made the interim dividend payment in March. And we will now look to review the final dividend payment once we've signed off the accounts in the next few months. Going forwards, I think it's important that we recognize that within a growth market, that doesn't mean that shareholders shouldn't be able to get some sort of return for their investment within the entity. And so we are firmly of the view that it's important to recognize, you know, the risk that an investor takes when they make an investment and look to reward that accordingly.
Thank you. And one thing that I would actually just point out, just looking at my notes here, that during the IPO process, Adshore didn't actually raise any funds. So of course, that would suggest a self-sufficient business there in tier. And you know, that actually moves quite nicely on to the next point that I'd like to explore here is the structure, if we may, Kevin. And of course, Adshore Services is the holding company for subsidiary tier. So you have a few questions here around that structure, about why you chose that structure, because you know that there would possibly be the opportunity or option of listing TIA, but of course you've gone with the structure of having the holding company. What was the thinking behind this? Is there you know, the possibility of acquisitions coming into Adshore Services in the future? What does that look like?
When assessing the best course to take this forward, we were quite keen to create a model that A, supported TIA to achieve the corporate plan that you referred to earlier and an ambitious growth plan that we've set out for the organization. But at the same time, to create an environment where if we can find opportunities to bring complementary products, services, skills, and tools into a group structure, which may either add existing value to the existing portfolio that we have within TIA, an opportunity to enter into new markets aligned to either the operation of TIA or to diversify some of the skill sets that we have within the current trading entity into another environment. So I understand that that's quite a broad answer, but at the same time, I think there's quite a broad range of opportunities there for where we go. And I think that's a big reason for us to be excited as we look to the future.
We're, of course, just days away now from the general election. Looks as though Labour are going to be in power post 4th of July. And of course, you're working very closely with government-funded organisations. So, you know, a change in government will have ramifications. What do you feel a Labour government will mean for Adshore going forward?
Firstly, I'm not going to guess the outcome of the general election, even if there is a degree of certainty at this moment in time in the polls. However, what I will say is that any change in government, or even just down to ministerial portfolio, tends to bring with it a change in requirements, regulation, or scrutiny within their portfolio. So stepping back and looking at our principal trading base within TIA, we expect there to be some significant changes to the very fabric of how some of those sectors are put together. And as part of that, it's going to be inherent upon my teams to support their customers and future customers on the journey of moving to compliance with a new regulatory framework, understanding new returns or risks that may be faced as a result of some of the changes that may well come in. Whilst at the same point, in the many cases, not forgetting that in most worlds, the primary reason a hospital is there is to treat its patients. And so it's incumbent upon my teams to make sure that the basic core business as usual controls continue to operate whilst all of the broader regulation and governance above that, you know, basic stakeholder commitment continues to change. So two very different important roles that we would seek to play.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kevin. So to finish off now, and I'm sure this is something the investors are going to be really interested to hear about, is, you know, looking forward over the next 12 months, what are the three things that excite you the most?
So if I look internally, I see a group of hungry, motivated people to make a success of our corporate plan. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how those individuals develop and run with the challenge in front of them. Secondly, I think we're on the cusp of some significant technological developments within the way we work. We've seen, you know, significant movement post-COVID with remote working and video conferencing, but areas such as artificial intelligence bring significant opportunities and threats, which are things we'll need to consider and review. And I think that's an exciting opportunity to look at how that can revolutionize the way we provide our services. And thirdly, I think it's the, just broadly speaking, the level of opportunity that I see looking forwards. And sometimes the need to be slightly open to pivot and review opportunities that may be presented to ensure that you can maximize the opportunity that arises.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Kevin. So just to finish off now, you did mention that results are due. When can investors expect to see those?
We want to have everything wrapped up by the end of the summer. So latest period, we would hope to be bringing those results end of the summer, early autumn at the latest.
Thank you. And I'm sure at that point, then we'll invite you back on to the podcast, Kevin, to see how progress has been at AdSure. So thank you very much to everyone for listening. And Kevin, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.